before I invite Nate up, there was Bill Welton told me this morning something, and I was going to pray about it, and I forgot. But Bill's brother passed away, and so he lost his brother, and I would like to pray for him. So let's pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you for Bill. We thank you for his work in this church and his love for you. We pray that you would be with him and comfort him and strengthen him at the loss of his brother, and let him know that you are with him. And let us be an encouragement to him. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, Nate, welcome to the pulpit.
Thank you so much. Hear now the words of Holy Scripture, Matthew chapter 1, verses 1 through 17. This is the genealogy of Jesus, the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham was the father of Isaac, Isaac the father of Jacob, Jacob the father of Judah and his brothers, Judah the father of Perez and Zerah, whose mother was Tamar, Perez the father of Hezron, Hezron the father of Ram, Ram the father of Amminadab, Amminadab the father of Nashon, Nashon the father of Salmon, Salmon the father of Boaz, whose mother was Rahab, Boaz the father of Obed, whose mother was Ruth, Obed the father of Jesse, and Jesse the father of King David. David was the father of Solomon, whose mother had been Uriah's wife. Solomon the father of Rehoboam, Rehoboam the father of Abijah, Abijah the father of Asa, Asa the father of Jehoshaphat, Jehoshaphat the father of Jehoram, Jehoram the father of Uzziah, Uzziah the father of Jotham, Jotham the father of Ahaz, Ahaz the father of Hezekiah, Hezekiah the father of Manasseh, Manasseh the father of Amon, Amon the father of Josiah, and Josiah the father of Jeconiah and his brothers at the time of the exile to Babylon. After the exile to Babylon, Jeconiah was the father of Shealtiel. Shealtiel was the father of Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel the father of Abihud. Abihud the father of Eliakim. Eliakim the father of Azor. Azor the father of Zadok. Zadok the father of Akim. Akim the father of Elihud, Elihud the father of Eleazar, Eleazar the father of Mathan, Mathan the father of Jacob, and Jacob the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary. And Mary was the mother of Jesus, who was called the Messiah. Thus there were 14 generations in all from Abraham to David, 14 from David to the exile to Babylon, and 14 from the exile to the Messiah. The word of the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God Almighty, help me not to say anything new today, Lord. Anything overly clever, anything to draw attention to myself, Father, but may you illuminate your word through the work of your Holy Spirit. May you draw us and guide us to eternal truths that you would like for us to know, Lord. Open our hearts, open our eyes, open our ears. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As I get started for the sermon today, I want to begin by simply saying thank you. It is an honor to preach the Word, because through the Word, we come to know God, and God is glorified. And secondly, I want to thank you wholeheartedly for your support of ARC. We know that there is a spiritual battle out there. There are lies and false worldviews. And so we want to equip believers with good answers to difficult questions so that we can be confident in the faith and we can proclaim the truth of God's word without shame, boldly. And your church is helping to make that possible. So thank you. The sermon title for today is, Did You Love Me When? And I'll begin with a story. An intelligence officer trained in guerrilla warfare, Haru Onada, was stationed on Lubang in the Philippines in 1944, a few months before the Americans invaded and retook the Philippines. The last instructions he had received from his immediate superior ordered him to retreat to the interior of the island and harass the Allied occupying forces until the Imperial Japanese Army eventually returned. You are absolutely forbidden to die by your own hand, he was told by his superiors. It may take 3 years, it may take 5 years, but whatever happens, we will come back to you. Continue fighting. Onada continued his campaign as a Japanese holdout, initially living in the mountains with three fellow soldiers. And so while he was there, they engaged in guerrilla warfare and got in several shootouts with the police. The first time they saw a leaflet announcing that Japan had surrendered was in October of 1945. And the saying said this, the war ended on August 15th, come down from the mountain. However, they didn't trust the leaflet. They thought the leaflet was Allied propaganda, so they would get captured. So they kept hiding and kept fighting. One by one, the men with Onada died or left. And then on February 20th, 1974, that's 30 years later, Onada met a Japanese man, Norio Suzuki, who was traveling around the world looking for Lieutenant Onada, a panda, and the abominable snowman in that order. Suzuki found Onada after 4 days of searching. They became friends. But Onada refused to surrender, saying that he was still waiting for orders from his immediate superiors. Suzuki returned to Japan with photographs of himself and Onada as proof of their encounter. And the Japanese government located Onada's commanding officer, Major Yoshimi Taniguchi, who had since become a bookseller after World War II. He flew to the Philippines, where on March 9th of 1974, he finally returned to Onada and fulfilled the promise he made 30 years before. Whatever happens, we'll come back for you. Onada was relieved of duty, and he surrendered, handing over several different types of weapons that he had maintained in pristine condition. Though he had killed people engaged in shootouts, the circumstances, namely he thought the war was still going, led him to receive a pardon from President Ferdinand Marcos. He returned as a hero in Japan. A hero. People use his story as an example of loyalty and love. If he was just a man, and he was this loyal and this loving, well, can there be anyone more loving and more loyal? Could there be any greater example? And today, friends, I want to tell you about that example of our Heavenly Father. Onada was loyal for 30 years, which is impressive. But can you imagine 50, 100, 500, thousands of years of loyalty from the beginning to the end, never wavering? And so we return to our passage. Now, when I ran through these genealogies, and you might remember the old English, so-and-so begat so-and-so begat so-and-so, maybe you had a couple thoughts. You may have thought Matthew 1 through 17, you're like, well, it's not Christmas yet. You read that passage about once a year and it gets us to Jesus. It's August right now. Maybe you thought, all right, well, you have this guest preacher for today. Well, you know, if he's going to choose a passage like this, maybe he doesn't have to come back. And if so, I'd understand. But what I'm going to ask us to do is to think differently about these genealogy passages. Because if you're like me, sometimes you see the names and you're like, all right, can we get to Jesus? And we will. But I think we need an attitude change towards this passage. Genealogies are a love letter from God to you. One of the Old Testament words for love that I'm going to talk about today is the word chesed. Transliterated, it's H-E-S-E-D, chesed. It's a love that emphasizes loyalty and faithfulness. An example of this can be found in Lamentations 3:22. The Lord's loyal kindness, his chesed, never ceases. His compassions never end. What we might be tempted to see is a boring bunch of names, but instead, it's God's way of telling us that he loves us with a chesed kind of love, a loyal, long-lasting, long-suffering love. He loves us through the ages, no matter what, no matter where we come from, no matter who we are, no matter what we've done. One of the first things you'll notice about long-lasting, loving, loyal relationships is that sometimes they do have their boring seasons, the kind of run-of-the-mill, everyday looks the same, daily grind of life seasons, steady, unremarkable. But let me tell you, church, we praise God for those seasons. We praise God for the names such as Azor and Akim, such as Abijah, such as Mathan, names that we might not know a lot about, but God knows. He's steady. God is present. He's there through the ups and downs. Yes, that happens. But God loves us even in the boring and the mundane. And we should take comfort in that. Big names and small names, our God loves us all. But then, that's not how every season of life is it? Sometimes, you'll come across seasons where the money's a little tight. Sometimes you'll come across seasons of loss, and there's heartbreak and pain. Loved ones taken too soon. Mothers experiencing miscarriages, divorce, dysfunction, death. Terminal illnesses. And so maybe you're here today or you know someone here today, and it's not the boring season we're in. It's a season of trial and heartbreak. We come to God in these seasons as well, the sad seasons, and we ask, God, do you love me? God, are you here? Do I matter? Can you hear me? Those are the sad versions of those questions. And then there are the angry versions of those questions. God, why did you allow that child to pass away so young? Why is there so much pain and suffering? Why did I lose my job? Why don't you do more, God? And I think in these times, we go back to this love letter that God has written to us in Matthew 1, verses 1 through 17. And we read about how loyal and long-suffering God has been to you and me. God loved you when he provided for Abraham. And he led Abraham from the land of Ur into a land of milk and honey and made him into a great nation. God loved you when he helped Jacob to raise so many sons, some of which would become the future tribes of Israel. One son was Joseph, and it was through Joseph that much of Egypt and the surrounding world was saved from famine. God loved you when he brought Ruth and Boaz together. When Boaz was taking care of his fields, he showed kindness to Ruth and provided for her and Naomi. Ruth was a Moabite, a foreigner, a stranger, and God brought her into the family. God loved us when he raised Jesse up to be the father of David. And David learned a lot of life lessons out there in the fields about work, about integrity, and these lessons prepared him to be a king. Even then, things are difficult, I know. God loved us when he made David king. David was one of the greatest kings of Israel and was a foreshadowing of the king to come. And at this point, you might be saying, all right, yes, you're walking through the Old Testament, sure. How does this show us God's love? By loving all the people into the genealogy, in the genealogy, God's blessed us today. It's through Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Zerubbabel, Eliakim, and all the rest that we even know God. God has shown us through the good and the bad and the ugly. And if you have read the Old Testament, you know there's a lot of ugly. That he will be with us through everything we are going through. God demonstrates to us by being faithful to everyone in this passage when he tells us today, this morning, that he will be faithful to every single one of you. He means it. He is present through all of life's tragedies. And now, I've talked about the boring. I've talked about the sad. I've talked about the infuriating. Some of you still might be cynical. You still might be cynical, and you'll respond by saying this, okay, I get it. Times are tough. God's with us. Yeah, sure. All right. But, you don't know what I've done. You might have neighbors or coworkers, other family members, or you here today, and that's what you say. You don't know what I've done. You don't know me, the things I've thought, the things I've said. And so now you turn to God and this is what you say. God, did you love me when I was a rebellious teenager? Did you love me when, as a young adult, I lived a life of sin and selfishness? Did you love me when I was addicted to drugs and alcohol? Did you love me when I was a bad spouse or a neglectful parent? Did you love me during the years when I forgot about you and became lukewarm and apathetic in my faith? Maybe God's chesed, loyal, faithful, long-suffering love doesn't cover me because of my past and my present or something I will do in the future. It's when our guilt and our shame is at their deepest point that I would ask you yet again, one more time, to return to the love letter that God wrote for us. God loved Abraham when he lost faith and slept with Hagar. God loved Jacob when he played favorites with his children and helped to cause his children to hate Joseph and sell him into slavery. God loved David when he committed adultery with Bathsheba, murdered Uriah, and was a terrible father to his children. God loved Solomon when Solomon went astray and married countless women. God loved Rehoboam, who ruled harshly and led Israel to split into two nations, Israel and Judah. God loved Rahab as she lived that certain lifestyle before joining the lineage of Jesus. And this is where, if we're having a conversation, you might interrupt me and say, okay, God loves me no matter what. When I'm bad, no matter my sins, no matter what I've said. He's loved all these flawed people through the Old Testament. But, Nate, I have to be sure. I just have to be sure. So, congregational participation here. Who here is like that? You have to double and triple check that you turn the stove off. Anyone? All right, I see some hands. All right. You have to double, triple check that you lock the door before you left. Anyone? Show of hands. All right. Some of us are like that. Some of us are like that. How can I be sure of God's love? Tell me one more time. We can be sure, church, because of verses 16 and 17. And Jacob, the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, and Mary was the mother of Jesus, who was called the Messiah. There were 14 generations in all, from Abraham to David, 14 from David to the exile to Babylon, and 14 from the exile to the Messiah. God loved Israel with a chesed love because he gave the world Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the long-awaited one who would take away the sins of the world. This entire genealogy leads and points to Jesus. God loves you this morning with a chesed love because of that very same Jesus, born 2,000 years ago in a manger, lived a perfect life, died on the cross, a horrible death he did not deserve for our sins, rose from the grave 3 days later, and ascended into heaven, victorious over sin and death. That same Jesus knows you and loves you and wants to walk with you and talk with you, and he will take care of you. When you look at your past, or the present, or your future, and you ask God, have you always loved me? Will you always love me? God will tell you yes. And you may ask, how can I know for sure? God will tell you this. Matthew 1 through 17. The Old Testament, looking forward, the New Testament and the establishment of the church, God will tell you this in his word. I have given you Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God. Let's pray. Lord, I know we're in different situations this morning. I know for some of us, we've read the genealogy. We know at least some of the names, Lord. But let it hit us anew. Your love isn't just over 30 years. It's through all the names and the generations that have gone by. Your love never fails, and it will be here long after we're gone. How do we know this, Lord? You have given us Jesus. And you're going to return. You're building a home for us, Father. May that comfort us this morning. May that dissolve our doubts. Draw us near through your chesed love that never fails and that we cling to. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And now we have a hymn of response, which is number 539. Oh, that will be glory.